Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
So I had the strangest thing happen to me last month. Every year my family drives down to Phoenix and I speak at one of the churches that helped us get started. And we've done this for like, I don't know, 5 years in a row, so we know exactly how to get there. So last month we started out on our trip and pretty quickly we came to the red light where we have to take a left, but there was a ton of traffic. And so I decided, I'll go right instead. And so we went right. Well, we drove that way for a while, and then there came this perfect intersection, this perfect opportunity to turn the car around and start going in the correct direction, but it was close to lunchtime. And I knew if we kept going in that direction that there was a good restaurant we'd finally get to, and so we just kept going in the wrong direction. And then after lunch, we could have gone back in the right way and fixed our course, but I knew we were going to need gas soon, and I thought the gas might be cheaper if we just kept going in that direction. And just to make a really long story short, we ended up in Oregon. Not really. Who would be dumb enough to end up in totally the wrong place just because at some points it was more convenient to go in the wrong direction? I mean, who would end up in the wrong place just because it felt good at points in the journey to be on the wrong path? Who would completely ruin their trip just because of making a bad choice or two at critical junctures along the way? Well, maybe I would. And maybe you would. Maybe not in a little weekend trip, but maybe that's exactly what we're doing with our lives. Maybe we're doing it every day. And maybe it will keep us from eventually getting to the future that we want for ourselves. People do things like this all the time. Let me tell you about a true story about what's considered to be possibly the greatest Arctic shipwreck disaster in history. In 1845, Sir John Franklin, handsome devil, set sail from England with 128 men to navigate the Northwest Passage above the North Pole. All 128 men died of hypothermia because they didn't pack any extra clothing for the Arctic weather. They did bring with them on the ship a 1,200 book library, an organ, China place settings, cut glass wine goblets, and silver flatware for all the men. Get this, the ship was equipped with a 15-ton auxiliary steam engine, but because of all the books and the organ and everything they brought with them, they only had room for a 12-day supply of coal to fire the steam engines. It just doesn't make sense. The trip was expected to take 2 to 3 years. It just doesn't add up. Obviously, this was going to be a disaster. But later, all the men were found dead, frozen. They had left their ship and hiked on foot hundreds of miles the whole time, dragging along with them all the China place settings and silver flatware. Now, you hear that, and it just sounds so absurd, right? I mean, but this really happened. I mean, just try to visualize it. You know, look down on these men dragging all this stuff through the wind and snow and in inadequate clothing, and they all just die hiking along. And from my enlightened perspective, I want to cry out to these men, what are you thinking? Why are you wasting time and energy on things that so obviously don't really matter? I mean, who would be dumb enough to go out on a journey desperately searching for some way to hang on to life, to find life, and take up precious time unloading plates and forks and knives just because they were expensive? Who would be dumb enough to go out on a journey desperately searching for a way to hold on to life, to find life weighed down by hundreds of pounds of stuff that was truly meaningless just because other people deemed it valuable? Well, maybe I would. And maybe you would. Maybe we don't do it on an Arctic adventure, but maybe we do it every single day of our lives. Wouldn't you agree that life is kind of a journey, right? As the old philosopher told us, life is a highway, right? It's like, it's true, like we're all on this kind of this road trip of life. And I wonder how many of us are taking wrong roads, not realizing that ultimately it's going to lead us to the wrong destination. And I wonder how many of us are bringing wrong things along and we're weighed down by them. And maybe because we have them with us, we're never going to be able to reach the place we really want to go. Today we're continuing our brand new series just started last week called Back to the Future. And last week we talked about how do we move past our past, past the hurts that we have from our past, the things that we get hung up on, so that we can move into the future that we want and God has for us. And if you missed last week, you can listen to that on the Verve app or online at our website. Today, we're going to think about how do we go to the future that we really want to go after. And we're going to ask some tough questions of ourselves today. Questions like, where do I want to go? If I keep traveling in the direction I am currently going, will I get there? That destination I have in mind, what roads do I need to take to ensure my future arrival? What distractions might lead me off course along the way? So today we're going to think about where am I going and how will I get there? Where am I going and how will I get there? And really, I think this all becomes a question of values. It's all about the values that we hold, because what we value dictates our decisions, and our decisions ultimately will lead us to our destination, right? Good decisions lead to a good destiny, and bad decisions lead to a bad destiny, and it's the kind of destiny where we get to, and someday we find ourselves asking, how did I get here? What happened in my life that led me here? Well, you made bad decisions. That's how we got there. And I've discovered, when it comes to this idea of values, of what guides us in life, that there are two problems that I have with my values. Maybe you don't. I'm going to guess that probably a lot of you have the same problems I do, okay? So here they are. The first problem is that we don't always value what we say we do. We don't always value what we say we do. So, like, for instance, I value nutrition, and I think that healthy eating is important. And so, like, because I know, like, one of the things I know about myself is that the Bible tells me that my body is a temple of God. And I also, like, I have this desire, I want to live a long life, but I want to know my grandkids someday. And I definitely don't want to be overweight. And so, one of the things I do is I always read the ingredients on everything I eat. So, like, these Twinkies have enriched bleached wheat flour, sugar, corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, not just the normal corn syrup, partially hydrated vegetable and or animal shortening, whole eggs, modified corn syrup. I can't even read most of these words. And you're laughing at that. Because a lot of us live this way when it comes maybe to eating, but the truth is we live this way in all kinds of ways, don't we? Right? I know I do. Like, this is what inspired this series. So several years ago, one day I had this kind of epiphany kind of moment that sometimes you get. I had this realization that I'm still trying to swallow Twinkie, that the paths I was taking in life were not going to get me where I wanted to go in life. I just realized that the life that I live every day will not ultimately lead me to where I want to go. But because there are things that I know are truly valuable, but I don't always value what I say I do. I started taking a close look at my life, and I realized, so I would tell you that I think the most important value in my life is my relationship with God. But if that was true, why did I often find myself rushing through my prayer time and reading the Bible in the morning so that I could get to work? I would tell you that the second most important thing in my relation is my relationship with my wife. But if that was true, why weren't we having a weekly date night? It's something that we'd always said we were committed to, but it happened once in a while. I would have told you that the third most important thing in my life were my kids, and especially the spiritual foundation and growth of my kids. But if that was true, like, why weren't we helping our kids to make sure that they read the Bible every day? Because I think that needs to be the foundation of their lives. And why weren't we helping to make sure that our kids were serving in our church? I mean, Jesus says that serving is the path to greatness and that serving is what helps people grow spiritually. So why wasn't that something that we were making sure they did? And what I realized is I don't always value what I say I do, right? If I'm honest, I have to admit that there are things that I value more than my health. I value the taste of a Twinkie more than I do the condition of my body. And if I'm honest, I had to admit that there were things that I valued more than my spiritual life. If you had said that to me, I would have vehemently disagreed with you. I would have said, oh no, God's the most important thing in my life. But the reality of my life, how I was living my life every day, showed that I don't always value what I say I do. One time, Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 6, he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. See, we can mistake being enthusiastic about values with actually being possessed by those values. We believe that if we care about something and we get excited about it and we talk a good game about it, that that's enough. But it's not. It's not if our actions don't match our words. If we don't live out those priorities in real life, if we don't invest our time and our money into what we say we care about, then we don't value what we say we do. And I wonder if you took an honest look at your life, if you might realize that you don't always value what you say you do. And I know this, if that's true, it will keep you from the future that you want for yourself. I see two problems with my values, maybe yours. The second problem is that not all we value is valuable. Right? Not only do we not always value what we say we value, but not all we value is valuable. So that story of Sir John Franklin and his 128 men from England, what they valued was an organ and books, and fine china and silver flatware. And those things were not valuable. They valued them, but they were not valuable. Now, if you could go back and ask them somehow, I'm sure that they would tell you that they consider their lives more important than the organs, book, and china. I'm sure they would tell you that they considered their families, getting back to their families, more important than the organs and the books and the china. I'm sure they would tell you that their mission, like the purpose they had for their journey, was more important than the organs, the books, and the china. But we don't always value what we say we do. And when they found room on their ship for an organ and 1,200 volume library, and when they left their ships carrying the china, what that revealed is that those items were more important to them than their lives, because they were willing to risk their lives, and eventually they gave up their lives for those items. What it revealed was that those items were more important to them than their families. Right? Because they didn't return home to their families because of those items. Those items were more important to them than accomplishing their mission. Now, they wouldn't say any of that, but the truth is, we don't always value what we say we do. And what they valued were an organ and books and china. And it reveals our second problem. Not all we value is valuable. So, a few years ago when I had this realization, what I came to see was, if you could send someone to like investigate my life, like watch every minute of my day and find out what really makes Vince tick, I'm pretty sure the report that you would get back is that I value working and that I value watching TV and that I value being comfortable and eliminating stress. I bet that would be the report you would get back. Now, I would argue and tell you that's not what I value. I would tell you that what I value are my relationships with God, my kids, and my wife. But I have to ask myself the question, if that's true, why did I rush through my Bible time and my prayer time with God in the morning so I could get to work? It's because I value work. And why did I focus on the flickering light coming from a basketball game or a reality show in this box in my living room instead of this amazing, beautiful woman sitting next to me on the couch? It's because I value TV. And why did my kids, when they asked me if I could play with them, did I often say no, even though I didn't have anything to do? And why would I rush them off to bed at night instead of spending a few more minutes with them? It's because I valued being comfortable and eliminating stress from my life. Those were my actual values, even though I would tell you that they weren't. And the truth is that not all we value is valuable. I want to show you a story in the Bible. If you have a Bible with you today, open to Mark chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, you're totally fine. We're going to put the verses on the screen for you. If you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, if you don't have one back at your house, we give them out for free at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. We'd love to give you a Bible today. So we're going to look at a guy who, even though he lived 2,000 years ago, struggled with the same kind of things that we struggle with today, who had the same kind of value problems in his life that I happen to have, and maybe you too. So Mark chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 17. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So this guy is asking Jesus, I know the destination I want to get to. What I don't know is, how do I get there? Right? There is a future I want. Tell me how to get to the future that I want to get to. Verse 18, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Now, I don't know if this guy's self-assessment was very accurate or very honest, but he's saying, listen, Jesus, I have followed that path. That is the path I've been on. I am at that point, that critical juncture in my journey. And so then Jesus tells him the next road that he needs to take if he wants to continue moving towards the destiny that he's hoping for, starting in verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. That's how Jesus looks at you. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. It says he went away sad. Now, I've read this story, I would guess, over 100 times. And every time I read it, that's the line that really gets to me. So this guy is on a journey. The destination he wants to reach is the right one. He stops and asks the right person for directions. That person gives him the right directions, but he refuses to take them. And he went away sad because he now knew the road he was traveling would not lead him to the destination that he wanted to reach. And I always wonder, where'd he end up? Maybe in Oregon? Maybe frozen, dead, laying in the Arctic snow, clutching onto a china plate and silver flatware? Why did he refuse to take the path that would have led him to the destination he wanted to reach? It's because what he valued wasn't valuable, right? He said that he valued God and eternal life and obeying God and spiritual things, but we don't always value what we say we do. What he actually valued was his great wealth. And not all we value is valuable. You know, this story, it makes my stomach hurt every time. Or it might be the Twinkies, I don't know. But this story makes my stomach hurt every time I read it. Because I wonder this. So if I had like that kind of a close encounter with Jesus, right? And I told Jesus where I want to go in life. Like I explained to Jesus the kind of relationship I want to have with God. and the kind of marriage that I want to have with my wife, and the hopes that I have for my kids' spiritual lives, and the kind of impact that I would want to make in this world. And I asked Jesus that question, how do I get there? What would he tell me I lack? What would he tell me that I have to give up? My possessions? My money? My TV? My TVs? My comfort? And would I? Would I take the path that led to the destination I want to reach? Or would I walk away from Jesus sad, knowing now that the road I'm traveling will not get me to the future that I want to go to? And what really makes me sick about this whole thing is that this is not a theoretical question. You get that, right? I mean, this is my reality, and it's yours. And so the question is, will we have the courage to look Jesus right in the eye, hear whatever he has to say to us, and make the right choice? Will we? Let me tell you just one more thing about values. Great values are God's values. Great values are God's values. God is all-knowing and all-wise. God has an eternal perspective. God is a loving Father who cares more about your life than even you do. He has your best interest in mind. Great values are God's values. Now, I realize we have people probably here today who you're not necessarily a believer, and so you're here kind of investigating faith, and man, that is so awesome that you're here. That's awesome. But for the rest of us who do believe, I bet what we would say to that, to great values are God's values, we'd say, of course that's true. Like, that's why I'm here. I know that's true. Of course, great values are God's values. But the problem is that too often we don't really share God's values. We don't actually live out God's values. Instead, what we tend to have our lives informed by and what we tend to live out are the values of this world. And they're very different. I don't know if you ever watched those, like, the Animal Kingdom kind of shows, but there was one where this king cobra was, like, swaying its head, pretend I'm a cobra, back and forth, just back and forth. And sitting in front of the cobra was a rabbit. And the commentator said that what the cobra was doing was actually hypnotizing the rabbit. And the rabbit was just staring, like fixated, like motionless on this cobra who just kept swaying his head back and forth. And then finally, with like furious speed, the cobra went, and just reached out and like killed the rabbit in an instant. Aww. And I'm not too into rabbits. And that image of that cobra just swaying back and forth and the rabbit just getting fixated, instead of running, just getting like hypnotized and finally getting killed by this cobra, reminds me of this verse in the Bible. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. So the New Testament was written in Greek, and the original word that we have translated world there in that verse is the word cosmos. That's the Greek word cosmos. And the Greek word cosmos can mean world, like the world we live in, but it can also mean beauty. And so it just depends on the context. So like our word cosmetics comes from the Greek word cosmos. And so it can mean like the cosmos, or it can mean like beauty. And often, like in the Bible, in Bible times, it was used to describe, this word cosmos would describe the beautiful things that are in the world and of the world. And I think that God knew that it would be so easy for us to just kind of get hypnotized by the motion of our world, by the flow of our culture, and to fall in love with the values of our world, which are very different from God's values. The world would say that what matters are beautiful houses and shiny cars and looking good and nice clothing and how popular you are, how many friends you have on Facebook or followers you have on Twitter, and big flat screen TVs with surround sound and rooting for the winning team. And God gives us this warning, do not love the world or anything in the world, because the world's values are not great values. God's values are great values. And it's only when God's values become our values and we actually live them out that we have the chance to live great lives and get to the destination that we really want to get to. God's values are great values. So what does God value? God values things that last forever. Makes sense, right? That's what's really valuable, things that last forever. That's why God says, don't value the things of this world, because they're temporary. Like, there will come a day where you will look at all those things and go, oh, meaningless. They're all meaningless. What matters is what lasts forever. What lasts forever? People do. People do. Relationships do. And so we need to invest our lives in relationships with God and people. Listen, when you get to the end of your life and you're like laying on your deathbed and you're looking back at your life and you've got moments of maybe some clarity to think about how you lived and what you accomplished and what you missed out on, here's what you're not going to say. Like, I'll promise you this. You are not going to say, if I had just made a little more money. You're not going to care at all about how much money you made. You're not going to say, if I had just gotten that promotion. Not going to happen. How much better would my life have gone if I had a few more square feet in my house? You know, what if I had gotten a cooler car? If I had just looked better? If I had more followers on Twitter? What if I had actually gone on that vacation I always dreamed of? Everything would be different now as I lay here about to. That is not going to happen, right? Looking back, you will not care about any of that. So, obvious question, why do we care so much about it now? Why do we care so much about things that ultimately we know will not matter to us? Looking back, when you look back at your life, all you're going to care about are the relationships that you had with God and with people and the impact that you made for God on people. That's all you're going to care about. The relationships you had with God and people and the impact that you had for God on people. Those are great values, and those will lead you to the future, to the destination that you want to get to. Hey, so next week, I'm going to teach you what I consider to be a critically important principle that most people don't know and don't live by, but it's a principle that invites God to be active in your life. And so if you want, as you move on this path into the future, if you want God to be a part of that and really be involved in, and you want God to feel like, man, I'm not doing this on my own. God's like doing things in my life. Be here next week, okay? Because I almost can promise you that you're going to be here next week, and at the end you're going to be like, I never knew that. Like, I never thought about that. And you're going to realize, man, I need to know that. Also, next week we're making a big announcement. So, like, just make next week a week that you don't miss, okay? Be here unless you're like, I don't know, dead or something. So, but before we leave today, I want to tell you a quick story, and I want to ask you a few questions, okay? And then we'll finish up. So, at the end of Leo Tolstoy's book, The Death of Ivan Illich, the main character, Ivan, is laying in his deathbed. And he is a guy who has sought power and prestige his entire life. That's what his life was about. And so he's lying in his bed. He's experiencing excruciating pain. His physician comes in, but he refuses any pain medication, and he kicks his doctor out of the room, choosing instead to experience the final moments of his existence, of his life, with clarity. Tolstoy writes this. It was true, as the doctor said, that Ivan Illich's physical sufferings were terrible. But worse than the physical sufferings were his mental sufferings, which were his chief torture. His mental sufferings were due to the fact that that night, the question suddenly occurred to him, what if my whole life has really been wrong? Then Tolstoy adds, it occurred to him that what had appeared perfectly impossible before, namely that he had not spent his life as he should have done, might after all be true. So let me ask you, what if your whole life has really been wrong? Is it possible that you have not been spending your life as you should have? Perhaps it's dramatic, like you look back and you've made horrible decisions, you thoroughly lived by the values of this world instead of God's values, and maybe you realize, like in this moment, that if you continue down this path, you're going to end up in Oregon instead of Phoenix. You know, maybe you're thinking, I am completely heading in the wrong direction. Or maybe it's not that drastic. Maybe it's like, oh, I think for the most part I've made good decisions. But you realize, well, I do have a few misplaced priorities. There's some things that I probably think are more important than they are. There's some things I probably don't value enough. And maybe this morning you realize, if you continue down that same path, you're going to end up in Tucson, Arizona. Right now, if you're trying to go to Phoenix, Tucson's a whole lot closer than Oregon, but you're still not where you wanted to go, right? Are you taking wrong roads? Are you bringing the wrong things with you on your journey? Do you really value what you say you do? Is what you value truly valuable? What would Jesus ask you if you stopped and asked him for directions? And will you have the courage to look him in the eye, hear whatever he has to say to you, and do whatever he says? My all-time favorite band is the Counting Crows. Anyone? No, just me. Okay. So they have a song called The Murder of One. And the song kind of ends with the singer, Adam Derwitz, just singing over and over this haunting line. He says, you don't want to waste your life. 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 We're going to give you a couple of minutes just to think about everything you heard and experienced today, and to ask those kind of questions of yourself. Where am I? Where am I headed? What direction would Jesus give me? Will I do what I feel like God is asking me to do today? During this time, we also have communion available. It's on the tables around the room. It's a piece of bread and a cup of juice that help us to remember that Jesus doesn't just give us directions. He loved us so much, he came and died for us. That's who's giving us directions and asking us soul-searching questions. And so if you'd like to take communion, you can. And just use this time to kind of figure out, where do I want to go and how will I get there? Okay? The band's going to play a song, and so it won't be like weirdly quiet in here. So let me pray for you and we'll do that. God, maybe for some of us, this is kind of disheartening in a sense. Maybe it's a little convicting to realize, man, I don't know that I truly value what I say I do. Because maybe some of us are like, I do say I value God and people more than anything else, but if you looked at my life, it looks like my career matters more or TV matters more. Maybe there are people who can look at their lives like I did and see the same things. Maybe some of us realize, well, that's not what I value. I value my career. That's what I think is most important. And maybe this morning we're realizing, man, what I value isn't truly what's valuable. I'm not going to get to the end of my life and care about my career. That's not what's going to be most important to me. It may feel a little convicting or disheartening, but God, what an awesome opportunity to turn. We hit this intersection, and we realize today's the day that I can get back on track. Today's the day with God's help, and God, you offer to help us, that I can get on the path that will lead me to the destination I want to go to, so that I will end my life looking back and saying, you know what? I made some mistakes early on, but I fixed course, and I ended up where I wanted to go. God, would you do that in our life? Would you give us the courage and the power to make those decisions? We pray in Jesus' name.